All right. Now, the title of today's lesson is real simple. It's called What the Bible Says About Divine Healing. That's the title. It's real. These are fairly short. Now, I'll tell you ahead of time, I did not really originate this list. This list, this sheet of paper, is directly from the manual that John G. Lake used to train his divine healing technicians in Spokane and Portland 100 years ago. We'll say, well, you sure are, you know, building up John G. Lake, or you're using his stuff. When you start getting 100,000 healed a year, I will use your stuff. Until then, why don't we study somebody who made it work? And not only made it work, but trained some other people to make it work. And they're still doing it today. Okay? Amen? But now, I'll be honest with you, these statements, if I just read them, some of you would enjoy it. But even though we've been on this journey, some of them are so extraordinary, your brain might cast it out, reject it, okay? So before I do that list, we're going to do another one. See, because if you don't understand that the Word is the final authority on this, then we're sunk already. So let's do a little review on the Word being the final authority. Because every statement that John makes over, he didn't provide the scriptures. I'll tell you how long it took me to come up with the scriptures. I printed the list during the break, in between the first and the second service. I knew where the list was. I went home, I printed the list, and within 15 minutes, I just sat there and by hand wrote out the scriptures for every statement. Well, thank God he's made us a steward of the mysteries. Amen. But we've got the Word for every single statement. Didn't even have to look them up. I just know them. The time to prepare is not when you get attacked with sickness. Amen. Get prepared before the attack. Amen. In fact, he's preparing us to go on the attack. Right. We're going to change that mentality of sitting around till the next attack. No, I want the devil worried about the next time you're going to attack his kingdom. Amen. And set the captives free. I'm ready for the devil to be worried. Amen. I want you to have a name. I want your name to be famous in hell. Amen. Or wherever demons live. I don't really think they're in hell yet. I want your name to be famous wherever they live. Okay? Paul, I know. Or is it Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Daisy, I know. Sue, I for sure know. And your name needs to be right there. You need to be most wanted on hell's, you know, most wanted FBI thing. Probably already is if you've been praying in tongues. Okay, I'm having too much fun and not getting into the lesson. You all ready? Go to Psalms 119. We're going to lay a little foundation first about the final authority. It won't take long to go through this list. I'm telling you, if you get this today, just this today in you, you're going to be a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You're going to be a real threat. The devil should tremble whenever you wake up. The message should go through. It should go like an alarm. The Christians are awake again. How many is going to be saved today? How many blind are going to see today? How many lame are going to walk? How many deaf hear? What all damage are they going to do to our kingdom today? We're getting there. Amen? Psalms 119. Now that's a long psalm. Let's just look at two verses. Starting in verse 89. You've got to get this. The Word, when I say the Word, I mean the written Word of God. Now, if you have a real prophecy, you know what? That is a word from the Lord, or it's not a prophecy. Isn't that right? Exactly. If it's a word, if it's a real prophecy, see, the Holy Spirit is to bring you the mind of Christ. I got news for your head. Jesus is alive and well. Amen. He still speaks from heaven. And Hebrews says, today, if you'll hear his voice. Well, that means he's still speaking. Isn't that right? Amen. All right. But anyway, the psalmist here, he's primarily talking about, though, the Word. The revealed Word of God. I started to say, this book you're holding in your hand, or those pages in your phone, or on your iPad, you know what I mean. Okay. Now, Psalms 119, verse 89. Forever. Say forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. See, the word of God is forever settled. Now notice it says in heaven. Why does it say it that way? He's looking to us to settle it here. See, God's not going to change his mind about his will to save people. He's not going to change his mind. You can read it in the New Testament that the reason he hasn't already come back, he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. It's not his will that any perish. Isn't that right? But just because that's his will, it's not automatically happening on earth. See, that's why Jesus told us to pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See? All right? But you got to understand, God, he's not wishy-washy, and his word is settled. If you look that word up, it is in Strong's. It's the number 5324. The Hebrew word is spelled N-A-T-S-A-B. It literally means to station, to set as a boundary. To set as a boundary. There's another psalm. I didn't look this one up. The psalmist talks about, oh, when you made the heavens and the earth and you set the boundaries for the ocean. See, didn't God set that boundary? How does the ocean know? There it is. There's the boundary right there. Okay? God's word sets the boundary for your life in every way. His word will tell you what is sin and what is not sin. Now, if you get a new nature, he writes that word in you. Okay? But you can read the word and find out the boundary. This is sin. This is not. Now, let's look at it another way. See, he set the boundary for the devil. You understand? Who has the keys of death, hell, and the grave? Jesus has got all of that back, and the boundary has been set. Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Now, let me ask you, how much authority does that leave for the devil? This word is settled. The devil has no authority. Say no authority. That means none. Say, that means none. It's good for you to say it. Stop saying, I opened the door. Well, you may have done something stupid. You can say that. I did something stupid. From God's point of view, that still did not authorize the devil. The devil is a thief. And he's doing what he's doing because he's a thief. From God's point of view, it's all illegal. It's just like the police. That's against the law. Trouble is, we're supposed to be the policemen to enforce the boundary. But rather than that, we'll counsel them. How did you open the door? Well, I'm not saying sometimes you don't do something stupid. But that still doesn't give him authority. Jesus had all authorities given unto him. And we're going in his name. Now that gives you all authority. See how quiet it got right there? It gives you, he says, the rest of that verse, all authority has been given unto me both in heaven and earth. Therefore, you go. In his name, you go. In his name, in that authority. Isn't that right? The police department is not going, if the guy's name is Jim Bob, Billy Joe Ray Bob, okay? He's not going in the name of Billy Joe Ray Bob. If he's been authorized by the city of Tulsa, I come to you in the name of the city of Tulsa. And all of the power of that whole city, all the money, all every resource is behind him. You're going in a name a lot higher than the city of Tulsa. You're going in the name who has all authority, both in heaven and earth. And if we ever get, and we're getting it more and more, when you speak, heaven hears and hell obeys. We've got to get that. And I don't mean once in a while. See, authority, that policeman has authority every crime he sees. Isn't that right? Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm preaching next week's message today. I just want you to understand that. Say it again. Forever. O Lord, thy word is settled. You settled it in heaven, and I settle it in earth. Hallelujah. Point number one. All right. Now go to Isaiah 55. Got to speed this up a little. Isaiah 55. Look at verse 11. I still hear pages. I think it's important that you see this. So we understand that his word is settled, right? Now watch this. Still talking about his word and the word being final authority. Isaiah 55, 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. I'm pausing for a reason, but it shall. It shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. He sent his word and healed them. Now that's his will. That's what pleases him. That's his good pleasure. And he has established that forever. By his stripes, you were healed. You got that? You got that? His word accomplishes that for which he sent it. I made a little note here. It says, you know, science tells us that the universe is still expanding in all directions. Have you ever read about that? I don't really understand that exactly. I'm going, well, who made the space where it's expanding to? But anyway, that's my mind. I know he made that too. But the universe is still expanding in all directions. Well, you know that originated with two Hebrew words, right? In the King James, it says, let there be light. But in Hebrew, I love it, it says, light be. And I did that little example one time. I said, if somehow you could somehow be transported out beyond into the void where the universe hasn't come yet, and it's still expanding, if you were standing out beyond where it was and here it comes, you know what you'd hear as it went by? Light be. It's still expanding. It's still working. And he only had to speak it once. He didn't have to get up every day and go, oh, whoops, I forgot to tell the sun to shine. Whoop, forgot to spin the earth around again. All my people flew off. You know. He speaks and it's done. And it keeps working. He doesn't have to ever say to you, you're healed. Quit asking him. He's already spoken it. Jesus already took the stripes. Quit asking him. He don't have to speak it again. It's still working. And it's still accomplishing that for which he sent it. Your job is to receive it, stand on it, and take that as the final authority. And not your back pain. Not your hip pain. Not your any other kind of pain. His word is the final authority. Isn't that right? God only has to ever say anything once, and it is done, and that word keeps working. God does not have to decree that any human is healed, because he has already spoken it, and Jesus has already taken the stripes. You ever think about this? The hall of faith, you know, we could go to Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, and I think about, you know, even Job. We don't know a whole lot about Job. I don't know a whole lot about his covenant. There's a lot of things I admire about Job. But the thing about Job, one of his wonderful statements was, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the latter days he shall stand upon the earth. See, he had faith, and he had to have faith in a Redeemer who had not yet come. That's why it's called faith. Our position is quite different from Job's. He had to have faith in a future act that had not happened yet. That is not us. What we do, we're called believers because we believe in the act that has already happened. See, and to not believe it is to call God a liar. John talks about that in one of his epistles. He says, you're calling God a liar because you're rejecting the testimony he has given of his son. See, I don't have faith my Redeemer's coming. I have a fact that my Redeemer came. He shed his blood for me. He took the stripes for my healing. Gave me the Holy Ghost so I can go about doing good like he did. And setting other captives free. It's up to us to enforce the defeat that God has already won over his enemy. God does not have to do anything to affect the healing of any person because he has already done it. Remember what T.L., I don't have this on my notes, but one of that my good quotes message, y'all remember the good quotes message? T.L. Osborne, don't ever ask God to do what he's already done. And number two, don't ever ask God to do what he told you to do. We're always asking God to move our mountain, and he told you to speak to it. He said, if you speak to it, that mountain will move. Don't be asking God to do what he plainly told you to do. And I know I see friends in here. Some people are, you know, I remember one time I was believing for a growth on my finger to go. Well, big, you spiritual giant. And I'm looking out, there's people in here got way bigger mountains to move than that. But there ain't no mountain bigger than our Jesus. Amen. And there is no mountain bigger than his word. And that mountain has no authority compared to the authority Jesus has. Amen. So it's the same for all of us. Whether you got, I know some people have a bigger. I like Alan's analogy of his birth daddy. I think was born with no fingers on his left hand. Was that your birth daddy? Well, it's harder to believe. You know, you're born with no fingers, and so he would ask the question. Well, can I? I've read where the maimed were made whole. Can I have fingers? Well, let me ask you. Can he? Yeah. It's easy to preach, but if you're the one with no fingers, you know. Your mountain might be a little different than me who's born with all my fingers. But I'm telling you, the promise is just as sure for him as it is anybody else. And he can have his fingers. So let's encourage one another. Anyway, that's another message. I'm trying to be nice. Okay, his word. Let's go to another one. Psalms 138. His word is the final authority. Oh, I love them all. I know I say I love this one. But I love them all. Psalm 138, verse 2. I actually got challenged recently. I quoted this scripture from memory. I didn't have it, you know, Psalm 138, but I had the gist of it. And I quoted it like that at Calling in the Lost. And after the service, he did it nicely. But somebody said, that verse is not in the Bible. I said, where's my phone? Anyway, I found it. Psalm 138, verse 2. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Now get this. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. See, God has forever connected the keeping of his word with his name. See, I had a good daddy. I had a good Baptist daddy named O.R. Carpenter. And he put a lot of good things in me growing up. One of the good things that he put in me, he told me forever. He said, son, if you do something wrong, you're probably going to get a spanking. But if you do something wrong and lie to me about it, the spanking for the lying will be way worse than the spanking for whatever you did. And you're wondering why. He said, son, you're no better than your name. Excuse me, your name is no better than your word. If your word is no good, your name is no good. He says, people can't believe what you say. You're going to have a rough life. They don't trust you. And God is the same way. He's saying, I have connected my name with my word. And if you can't count on my word, then I'm no good but myself. That's what that means. I have exalted my word even above my name. You will never find a time when my word will not produce in your life. Isn't that the truth? Now see, his word is the final authority. He has placed his word even above his name. He says, you may call me, he said, you can call me names if you want, but you're not going to change my word. My word is good. Y'all getting this? That's what that means. I have exalted, you have exalted thy word above all thy name. So when he gives us his name, you know, there's the redemptive names of God like Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? Sue got it. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And you maybe you prayed and your body's, I'll preach from experience. I've prayed and confessed and still had the pain in my back. Now I got a choice. Either God broke his word, which means if he did, he's no good. And he's not the Lord that healeth me. Or his word is good, he is good, and I'm still working on the part of me that believes. I'll take the second one. Thank you very much. Okay. God is good, his word is good, and his word is good to me. My job is to believe it and work on the part of me that doesn't until I do. Okay. It's called renew. By the way, that's Romans 12 too, renewing the mind. Alan alluded to it today out of 2 Peter chapter 1. By these exceeding great and precious promises, we are made partakers of the divine nature. Whew. Glory. Well, those promises are his word. It's by his word that you become partakers. Oh, get Alan's message. It was great. It's funny. We got to laugh in church. It was great. I had another one. Hey, go, turn to Hebrews. Let's see them all. Go to Malachi 3:6. This is one of the rare times you'll hear me preach out of Malachi. I actually love the book of Malachi. I wish preachers would preach the whole book. You know? Because there's things in that book you'll never, or I've never heard them preach. All they really get on is, you're cursed with a curse, you know, this whole nation. You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Never forget the first part where he says, keep your offerings. He says, the way you're giving them, I don't want them. That's in chapter 1 and 2. When did you ever hear that preached? Yeah. He says, I'd rather you'd, he says, you'd be better off not to bring that than to bring that and try and worship me with it. Malachi's a good book if you preach the whole thing. Okay, I just after one verse here because we're establishing the finality of his word as being the final authority. See Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He was upset with them. But the part I want you to notice, I am the Lord and I change not. Let's look at the New Testament equivalent. Go to Hebrews 13. Verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Hallelujah. The reason for the pause, I hear pages turning. By the way, many of your, if you ever see any videos of the old 40s and 50s tent revivals, A.A. Allen and all the other ones, not just one, more than one of them. Jack Coe, I saw it in his tent. You'll see this verse in great big banners like these hanging in those healing tents. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Glory to God. The Jesus you see healing the sick in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the same today. And he's never going to change. Now that's the New Testament equivalent. For I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, if you keep that in mind, the next verse makes a lot of sense. Because of that, because he is the same, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Like what? Healing has passed away. That ended with the apostles. God doesn't heal today. It might not be his will to heal you. Strange. Paul would call these strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. What grace? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. If he healed him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he'll heal you today. Yes. Glory to God. That is his grace right there. Luke 1:38. This is the last one in this section. We could have added pages and pages like this. But see, here's the only proper attitude when it comes to God's word. I mean, we're going to look at Mary, the Virgin Mary. Now, come on. You're believing for him to heal a hangnail? This little Virgin Mary, the word to her is, you're going to get pregnant without a man. You think you got a mountain? You think you got trouble believing his word? Come on. Is it like Abraham and Sarah? You know, getting close to 100 and, you know, he's 99, she's 90. Right at it. You're going to have a baby about this time next year. They both laughed, both of them. I could just see Sarah. She's listening. She overheard it. Said she laughed. She said, God, you're so funny. You're teasing us. No. And here's Mary, this little teenage girl, never been with a man, virgin. You're going to have a child. It's going to be by the Holy Ghost. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing conceived within thee. And just on and on. Her attitude. You talk about a word. Luke 1:38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. That's all he needed to hear. That's all he needs to hear from you. Say it, be it unto me according to thy word. Every exceeding great and precious promise that you have given to me, be it unto me according to thy word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Now, can we agree that the word is the final authority? All right, we're in agreement? All right, fasten your seatbelt. I'm going to make some statements. I'm going to go close enough. I don't have permission from John G. Lake to make a PDF for you out of this, okay? I may get it someday, but I don't have it. So if you want these, you're going to have to write them down, all right? I'm going to go slow. I'll probably read them a couple of times. This is from John G. Lake's manual, What the Bible Says About Divine Healing, okay? By the way, it's page 15. Anyway, that's another. Number one, divine healing is the right and the responsibility of every Christian. Let me say it again. Divine healing is the right and the responsibility of every Christian. Now, when he says it is the right of a Christian, it's your right. Divine healing is your right. Why? I just wrote down one thing. By his stripes, you were healed. That's it. You don't need anything else. By his stripes, you were healed. That is your right. Stand on that promise. When he says responsibility, now we're at Mark 16. I didn't look up the actual chapter and verse. I'm just going to give you the phrase. When it says it's a responsibility of every Christian, those that believe, it's Mark 16, those that believe in my name, They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Do you get that? So when he says it is the right, it is your right to have healing, that's true. It is also your responsibility to a lost world to take the healing of Jesus to them. And it's not based on their faith. It's based on your faith. It's based on the finality of... If you look that up, you're going to find it's red letters. All authority has been given unto him who spoketh the red letters. So when he says believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, you don't need any other authority but that right there. He said it. I do it. And it's done. Isn't that it? Isn't that how authority works? He said it. I do it. And it's done. That's it. It's the right and responsibility of every Christian. Oh, no, it's just for the few. That's not what he said. Those that believe. Those that believe. All right. Number two. I touched on this whatever service I did last. The way I said it in that service was, the only hindrance to healing is that you believe there is a hindrance to healing. Well, in the John G. Lake manual that he used to teach his divine healing technicians, he said it this way. Any hindrance to the healing of any Christian is not of God. Any hindrance to the healing of any Christian is not of God. We'd like a verse. Acts 10:38. Those were not Christians, but remember Jesus, his assignment while he was there was to the Jew first, because they had a covenant with God. Well, because they had a covenant with God, they were the believers of the day. You understand what I mean by that? I'm not saying they were born again, but they had something to believe. They had a covenant. The two people he ever said had great faith, the Roman centurion and the Syrophoenician woman, neither one of them had a covenant. Okay? Great faith. But anyway. The verse is Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Every healing that you see Jesus do, you got to understand it. God is the healer. The devil is the oppressor. Only religion gets you mixed up about who is causing sickness and disease. Jesus was not confused about it. He wasn't. God's not confused about it. And the devil's not confused about it. It's only the Christians. Because we've had a lot of help from pulpits. Not anymore. And you'll never see, I'm trying not to preach too much. This is a kind of summary day of a lot of things this year. You're never, ever, ever going to find Jesus. Now, Gary, do you believe in repentance? Absolutely. Do you believe in forgiveness? Absolutely. Do you believe in living a holy life? Absolutely. But at the same time, you'll never see Jesus requiring that of anybody before he healed them. He would heal them based on his stripes and not their performance. It was based on the stripes he was about to take for them. God had already received it as done at the baptism of John. You got that? That he was going to go all the way to death. So, after he healed them, he would say to some, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. You're right? The church has become a counseling center. The church has become a judge more than it has become a healer. There's whole books written on it. You have back pain? This would apply to... You have back pain, do you? Well, back pain, that comes from unforgiveness towards somebody. Yeah, that's what that is. So they're trying to put that in you, like, okay, you got to take care of that. If it's arthritis, that's bitterness. There's whole books. Throw them away. I don't care who wrote them. Throw them away. Burn them. We have a book burning in the book of Acts, but anyway. It's not of God, not ever. We're not called to counsel them, break a generational curse from their great-great-grandpappy, find the root of their problems, see if they were molested as a child. None of that. Just speak the word of healing. By his stripes they were healed. Now there's counseling and all, you know, there's good that comes from that. I'm not against that. But let's not substitute that for the raw power of our healing God. Number three, I'm going to have to go a little faster. God is not our problem. He is our help. Please get that straight. God is not our problem. He is our help. It is so easy, because of religious training mostly, to start thinking, because when you're going through a real trial, and I mean a real trial, something really traumatic, something tough, something in you wants to say, oh, there must be a good reason for this. Or you start taking verses out of Scripture, all things work together for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Never mind that verse is right following, for the Spirit makes intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered, for he that knows the mind of the Spirit, and so forth. It's talking about when you're praying in tongues. That's when it says you can rest assured that while you're praying in other tongues, everything you're praying is working toward your good. And you can't lift that verse out and say that car wreck that killed your wife and kids was for your good. It doesn't mean that. Okay. All right. God, but see, our mind wants to have a reason. Well, God's teaching me. Well, he'll always be teaching you no matter what's happening, but that doesn't mean what's happening was from him. You see that? The fiery furnace, I reckon Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego learned a few things in that fiery furnace. One thing they learned, he's with them. They wasn't even sure he's going to bring them through it. See, they would never be allowed to preach in a faith camp today. Because you know what they said? Well, you're going to send us through, okay. If he delivers us, we're not going to bow. But tell you what, even if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow. Do y'all know that's what they said? Now, was the furnace from God? No, the furnace was from the devil. Now, I imagine they learned a few things. They're looking in that furnace. They said, I see a fourth man in there. Didn't we throw three in there? I see a fourth man in there. I'm looking at him. And that fourth man, he looks like the Son of God. Whew. Yeah, I imagine they learned a few things. But you got to understand, the fiery trial was not from God. So God is not our problem, he is our help. The same verse, Acts 10:38, is the one I would use there. Number four. Any hindrance to healing is on the part of the enemy. I think I said that part, but I didn't give you the scriptures. See, Matthew 17 is where I would go with that one. Where that epileptic boy, the father brought that epileptic boy and the disciples prayed. And you can read earlier in the book, they had already had success casting out devils and healing the sick. But here they did everything. Surely, I would think they did everything that they knew to do. Same things they did as before. But this time, when they prayed, the boy didn't get healed. See, and the religious mind right there will say, see, it's just not always God's will to heal everybody. There's some reason. We don't know what it is. There's some, God has some mysterious purpose. All of that, all of that is baloney on crackers. That's a lot better than what I used to say. All of that is baloney on crackers. And I mean unsalted crackers, the bad kind, even. You know. Because you can see the will of God when Jesus shows up, and he is not happy. Jesus is love, amen? How long am I going to have to put up with you boys? How long am I going to have to do this for you? You bring that boy here to me. See, and you find out real quick. The hindrance to that boy's healing was not from God. No, It was from their unbelief, and that unbelief was caused by the manifestations of that spirit. It plainly tells you. It'd roll him in the fire. He'd gnashing of teeth and foaming at the mouth. And he tried that same thing when Jesus showed up. It worked on the 12 or 9. Three came. Anyway, worked on the 9. It'll work on him too, but it didn't work on Jesus. See? No, it was the will of God that that boy be healed the whole time. The only hindrance was from the devil. Hallelujah. All right. Number 5. Any sickness or disease can be overcome by a Christian if the Christian will exercise faith and power. I read it again. Any sickness or any disease can be overcome by a Christian. Pastor Dave would say Joe Public or Mary Wallpaper. If, and here's the big if, the Christian will exercise faith and power. Luke 10:19 is a real good verse on that. I'm going to make sure I quote it perfectly, so let me get it here myself. Like I say, I didn't have time to copy and paste like I usually do. Luke 10:19, if you want to look it up. Now here we go. Is the word final authority or not? Luke 9:19 will not work. There it is. And see, this is right after, 19 is the verse, but start in 17. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said, I can read the shock in that word right there. Can't you read it? It's like, Lord, did you know? He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. But here's the verse. Behold. Now, power occurs in this verse twice. The first one is exousia, authority. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, and that's the word dunamis. You know what he's really saying? I'm giving you authority over all the ability of the enemy. Now, isn't that what a police department does? Don't they give you authority over any ability that that thief has? Isn't that right? And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Back up just one. That's when he sent out the 70. Then he called his 12 disciples together. Okay, Luke 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them, I love this one because it has both, power and authority over a few devils. Over all devils and to cure diseases. Well, that had to be just the 12, though. See, Gary, can't you read? It says 12. Doesn't it say 12? Yeah, in the next chapter, he sent out 70 to do the same thing. And then in Mark 16, he said, everyone that believes can cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and they recover. And your name is in there. Amen. Any sickness or disease can be overcome by a Christian if the Christian will exercise faith and power. Number 6. The enemy, this one's kind of long. The enemy is not a serious hindrance and can be overcome by any Christian using the available tools and weapons provided by God. I'll say it again. The enemy is not a serious hindrance and can be overcome by any Christian using the available tools and weapons provided by God. Well, what are some of those tools and weapons? Number one would be the word. He sent his word and healed them. Number two would be the name. He has given us the name that is above every name. Another one, he has given us the stripes. I want to remind you again that John Alexander Dowie, who ended up badly, and he would have profited greatly from Pastor Dave's teachings, and he would have been better off to receive the Holy Ghost as his teacher. Okay, but he didn't. In fact, he fought the baptism of the Holy Ghost, tried to destroy it in the early church. Yet, history will tell you that almost single-handedly that man restored the doctrine of healing to the church. He was one of the first pioneers to do it. He had more healings without the baptism in the Holy Ghost than most Pentecostal ministers today with the Holy Ghost. And how in the world did he do it? He had two weapons. He had two weapons. Two things that he believed. He believed, number one, that healing is in the atonement. He had it straight. The stripes that Jesus took was for every man, the same way that the blood on the cross was for every man. Every man can be saved if he believes in the blood, and every man can be healed if he believes in the stripes. The second tool that he had, he believed that the name of Jesus was above every name that is named. Well, that's what Peter used the day that he healed that cripple at the Gate Beautiful. He told you plainly, it's not by our faith or our holiness. It is that name through faith in that name. Now, we've got the Holy Ghost. We've been talking about out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You got more than John Alexander Dowie ever had. And we should, how did Dave say it? We should be showing him our dust. And I believe we're going to. And I believe quicker than later. Amen? All right. You also have the authority and the Holy Ghost is the other ones that I had on there. All right, number seven. The enemy can only be truly defeated by spiritual weapons and not by carnal / natural weapons devised by man. I'll say it again. The enemy can only be truly defeated by spiritual weapons and not by carnal / natural weapons devised by man. I wrote down two verses there. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? Say it with me. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold. And another one is Ephesians 6:12, which says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and so forth. We are in a spiritual war. Now, I thank God for everything that natural man can give us. I'm wearing glasses today, and trust me, if I'm driving, you should thank God today that I am wearing my glasses, okay? And it's a natural help. I'm telling you, there's a higher help. God's help can just, I don't care if you had to make new eyes. What's that to God? That's what's that to him, you know? So permanent, it says permanent solution. Okay, number eight. Oh, I'm going to stir up some devils with this one. Religious ones. Christians and non-Christians. I'm not even going to read this without reading. Now, this is John G. Lake. 100,000 healings a year. Perhaps we should pay attention. Okay? When you're getting more than that, I'll listen to you. Christians and non-Christians, comma, without faith for healing, comma, can be healed when Christians exercise kingdom authority. See, when he sent out the 12, didn't we just read it a while ago? He and the 70, and then later Mark 16, did he not say that he gave them authority and power over all devils and to cure diseases? It's your job, Christian, to believe that and then take that to the world. That's why in Mark 16 it said, these signs shall follow them that believe. What sign to who? Sign to the non-Christian. Sign to the Muslim. Sign to the Hindu that Jesus is alive. Jesus saves and Jesus heals. I've come to show you a sign. Where's your sick child? Where's your blind mother? Quiet in here. That is what he intended for us to do, and he intends for us still to do. Hallelujah. Boy, did everyone get to write that down? Anyone need me to say it again? One more time. I thought, Christians and non-Christians, comma, without faith for healing, comma, can be healed when Christians exercise kingdom authority. And all you need right there is Mark 16. Mark 16. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick. And they will recover. There it is. This is the last one. Number 9. All sickness and disease is a work of the enemy. And is to be defeated whenever and wherever they are encountered. I'm going to say it again. All sickness and disease is a work of the enemy and is to be defeated whenever and wherever they are encountered. Go back to Luke 10 for just a minute. I've been talking with Tim. I have taught in the past about the art of waiting on God. God plainly told me one time, he said, the art of waiting on God has been lost to this generation. And one of the things that I'm supposed to teach is how to wait on God to find out his leadership. And we've taught a lot on that. You guys already know a lot on that. But I'm finding out from the Word. How many of you know we're all teachable? I was a little bit off in the ditch because he hasn't let me teach on it for a long time. It's because he has to, you know, if you start getting off in a ditch, you got to get realigned back to the center. Now, let me just show you from the Word. You don't have to, just show you from the Word. Luke 10, come on down to verse 8. Now, this is when he, if you started in verse 1, you would find out this is when he's sending out the 70. Can I just go ahead and jump to Mark 16? This is when he's sending out us. You understand? First he sent the 12, then he sent the 70, and in Mark 16 he sent everybody who believes. Isn't that us? Verse 9. Look at verse 9. Actually, let's start in verse 8. No, verse 9. See, I've taught this verse so many times. This is one of the commands. Heal the sick that are therein. So if they're therein, that's all that they need to qualify to be healed, isn't it? Right. Heal the sick. See, I remember the first layer of revelation on this. It dawned on my lightning quick mind one day. He did not say, pray for the sick. He didn't say that. He said, heal the sick. But which ones? I don't know what you want, Lord. You know, in the early days, I didn't think like I'm thinking now. And I was thinking, well, I know you want to heal some. I'm not sure you want to heal them all. Which ones do you want to heal? But what does the Word say? Heal the ones that are therein. If they're there, heal them. Doggone. And say,
the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. All right? Now we're talking about leadership. We're talking about waiting on God. I believe in waiting on God. But back up to verse 8. Because then the next question is, okay, I got it. Whatever city that you send me to, the sick that are therein, that's all I got to know. Are you sick? I've come that you receive your healing. Or I've come to heal you. Because he said, religion don't want to say that. I've come to heal you. But yet Jesus said, go heal them. So let's do it this way, at least for now. I've come to heal you in his name. We can get by with that, okay? But that's the way you do it anyway. But, well, which city, Lord? I just recently saw this. Slap you right across the side of the face. Did me. Verse 8. And into whatsoever city you enter. Which city? The one you enter. Whatsoever city you enter. That sounds like you choose. Now I know we're not going to abandon waiting on God. Okay? We've got a lot to teach on it. Trust me, I believe in waiting on God. We are not orphans. Amen? But does that not say whatsoever city you enter? Meaning he wasn't sending them to just one. Whatsoever city you enter. And they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and. That means he ain't done talking. You didn't get there just to get the Krispy Kreme donuts. And whatsoever city, heal the sick. Which ones? Well, the ones that are there. Doesn't that sound like all? Oh, you're sick? I come in his name to heal you. See, and then look at verse 10. It's like brackets now. You can't get away from it. Whatsoever city you enter. But look at verse 10. But into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not. There it is again. Brackets on both sides of verse 9. Whatsoever city you enter. See, more and more I'm understanding the truth. And I'm also understanding how much I didn't really understand. Is that okay? I'm understanding how much I didn't understand about how healing is in the atonement. Because he's going, whatever city and whatever sick, heal them in my name. And tell them the kingdom has come. And the king is Jesus. Because you shall be my witnesses. You getting anything out of this? Is that good stuff or what? It's not just specific cities. It's whatsoever city. Now he may, when you're in prayer, trust me, he'll send you places, have you do things. But in your normal, yes, sir. I'll close with this. I saw this little image again. I'm going to close with this. If I don't close it, we'll be here a long time. I heard a preacher say this the other day, when you can't improve on it, you just steal it. He said, I'm not really sure I would like for very many charismatic Christians to be a police officer on my street. Well, why is that? Well, you know, a real police officer, if he sees a crime, if he's driving by at night and he sees a burglar going out my side window and that burglar's got my TV on his shoulder, if he's a real policeman, he's not going to call headquarters and say, what do I do? He's going to stop the burglary in the process, arrest that guy, give me my TV back, and do what he's been authorized to do. He said, Christians? They'll come by in the police car and they see a thief taking my TV out the window. First thing they're going to do is, how does Alan do that? Static on the radio. Call headquarters. Headquarters. There's somebody leaving with a TV. They're not using the front door. They're going out the side window. What should I do? And they're going, sounds like a burglary. You should arrest that person. But what if they left the window open? What if they opened the door? Maybe this is their fault. Arrest the burglar. Stop the. Are you seeing this picture? We have been wishy-washy, mamby-pamby, no clear understanding that God is good, the devil is bad, healings from God, sickness is from the devil. We've been authorized with his name and the word and the power of the Holy Ghost to go and stop the crimes just like he did. And we are authorized. I'm going to read that last one again, and then we're done. All sickness and disease is a work of the enemy and is to be defeated whenever and wherever they are encountered. Now, I'll give you one more. I said, boy, I wish I'd have been alive then. Man, I'd like to have gone through John G. Lake's healing school. Man, I'd have studied all that stuff, and that'd be great, and he'd give me a big certificate, and I'd be a divine healing technician. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You didn't become a divine healing technician by finishing the course and checking all the boxes and being good at taking tests. You know, a lot of people are good at taking tests, but they don't ever do nothing. I'm trying to be nice. Because that wasn't good enough. No, you did have to take you had to pass all the tests. You had to understand the doctrine. You had to be able to give the word. But in order to become certified, they assigned you a terminal case. You went to live with them. When you brought them back healed, then you were certified as a technician. And if they died, you failed. John G. Lake did not believe in participation trophies. Neither does God. What do? You get back in there again. And we've lost some. This game ain't over. We're going to quit losing them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, hallelujah. Did you get blessed with that? That is good, good stuff, is it not? Isn't the word wonderful? It's wonderful. Glory to God. Okay. I'm trying to learn from my mentor and listen before I close. Listen, there's some of you that are listening or watching this by internet, and your mountain might be really severe. Listen, whatever device you're watching on, put your hand on it, or if you're in a bed too far away, just stretch your hand towards it. All of us right now are joining together with our faith. And we are sending the word of God to you. He sent his word and healed you. Receive it now. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.